want to look at the book of Luke today, Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read a couple of verses from like verses 10 through, well, we'll just wander on down and see how far we get. But what I want to do is look at the story of a woman who's healed, and I want you to see the response that Jesus gets after he heals, because he heals this woman on the Sabbath. And a ruler of the synagogue has some words with Jesus. And it's very significant to you and I, and our thinking on how we think about the things, the promises that Jesus has given. So it starts in verse number 10 of Luke 13, and it says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto all the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and therefore come to be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he said all these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him." All right, so here's just, in a nutshell, the story. Here's a woman that's been afflicted, bent over, bowed over in agony and in pain, and whatever the sickness was, had her actually bent over, whether it was like a problem with the back or whatever. She's obviously suffered for 18 years. Jesus calls to her, says that she's loose, puts his hand on her, and she is set free. She straightens up. And what's the response of the ruler of the synagogue? He chastises Jesus and says, this is the Sabbath day. You can't heal on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days set aside for healing. Come on those days. On the Sabbath day, you don't do that. Jesus, of course, responded by saying, you're a hypocrite. You move your ox, you move your donkey, you do all that. And yet you would have this woman suffer if she can be healed on this day? Here's one of the key things. At the end, all of those who were opposed to Jesus were ashamed and humiliated by the obvious. And this is so obvious to us. Okay, here's the ruler of the synagogue. His first thing, why was his first thought not, that is amazing. That is just awesome. God just healed that woman. That is just awesome. That's what he should have been thinking. Being a ruler of the synagogue, he should have known more than the people. He should have known that the Messiah was coming and Messiah would bring healing with him. He should have known that and expected it. He didn't. His heart should have been right. If his heart was right and his motivation was right, even at seeing the healing, even if he thought that it was wrong to heal on the Sabbath, even seeing the healing, he still should have said, wow, that is really awesome. Do it again. Do it again, Jesus. Show me somebody else. Heal someone else. I mean, that's what you would think. Well, that's what you would hope, a compassionate heart. That is what a compassionate heart would do. But he was so caught up in the law and so caught up in the law as interpreted through men, he didn't really have a heart. He didn't really care. He had no compassion for that woman. He could have cared less about her healing. He was upset because his rules were being violated. You see, man had taken the law and had made it their own. They had changed it, reconfigured it. They had interpreted it to their own way of thinking. They had added to it. That's one of the things Jesus was upset about. They added to the law and made it difficult for the people. Here's when you think about it. And too many times we wind up being like that ruler of the synagogue. We get so caught up in the rules and the regulations that we miss the motivation. We miss the heart's desire of God. Because you know what? At the end of the day, those who were not rejoicing were humiliated. The hearts of the people were, this is just great. Heal some more, Jesus. We want to see it again. It is awesome. Set more people free. Look, there's a lot of hurting people here. I want to see them set free. It's compassion for other people. But too many times we wind up being like the ruler of the synagogue. We get weak. We get caught up. Now, this is important. We get caught up in the same kind of religiousness all so easily. It's one of the great ways that the enemy keeps us in shackles and keeps us from receiving the things that God has already established for you and I. Too many times our thinking is, yeah, but this is the way that I've interpreted. Yes, but this is the way that I was taught. Yes, but you know what? Just come down to what the Word of God says and stand on the Word. It doesn't matter to me. You know what? If I would ever say something behind this microphone that doesn't line up with the Word, if it sounds good, but you look at the Word and it doesn't line up with the Word, then you disregard what I say. Because men do have, as we see by the ruler of the synagogue, men do have, it's the way of the flesh. Every one of us can easily fall into that same trap of becoming focused on the religion, focused on the things of the religion, and not focused on the heart of God, not focused on who Jesus is, who was the completion of the law. Now let's go back and look at this ruler of the synagogue for a moment, because this is just fascinating. There's a couple of things here that just stagger the imagination. First of all, well, two things. The ruler of the synagogue didn't understand the old covenant, and he surely did not understand the new covenant. He didn't even understand the old covenant. Here he is chastising Jesus for healing the Sabbath. He clearly had no understanding of what the law really was. Because when we're supposed to rest on the Sabbath, we're supposed to set aside that day to honor God and to rest. You see, it was men that interpreted that to say, you can't work. It was men that determined that to say, that means we can't do anything at all. If you understood the heart of what God was saying, if you understood the motivation, if you understood the purpose behind the law, he would have understood that this was not about God somehow gets glory if we don't work. It's not even about, well, you know, God understands the body is weak and we just need that day of rest. It's not even about that. It's about this simple fact. We are supposed to be trusting in and relying on God. And in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, under the law, on that Sabbath, the Sabbath was compared. If you read this in the book of Hebrews, the Sabbath was compared. And the Bible makes this illustration. The Sabbath was compared to the week of creation. And on the seventh day, he rested. And that's likened to the Sabbath. And that day of Sabbath rest. Okay, when creation took place, God creates the world and it says on the seventh day, he rested. What does it mean, rested? I mean, do you really think that it means that God was just exhausted? He was so tired, he couldn't do anything else? He was totally spent. Whew, man, I need a vacation. I got to take some time off. I'm taking the day off because I got to recuperate. Well, let the Word interpret the Word. The Bible tells us that God never tires. That's what the Word says. He never grows weary. So if we know that God never grows weary, then when he created over 6 days, the point of the seventh day was not for him to rest and recuperate. No, it meant that the work was done. It meant that he had finished everything that he had to do. Everything that he was going to complete was that he was going to create was completed. It was all done perfectly. And everything would operate perfectly because he created it perfectly. The work was done, finished. There was nothing more to do. There was absolutely nothing else to do. He had set it all up so that it would continue. He set it up so that the trees would continue to produce trees, animals would continue to produce animals, birds would produce birds, everything would just keep on going and flowing. It was all established. Life was in the seed. So the rest, the day of rest, was not because he was tired. And this is where man then took the law about on the seventh day, the Sabbath, took that rest to mean, man, we're tired. Our bodies are tired, so we have to rest. Not at all. Remember, the comparison is made with creation. And it didn't mean, that Sabbath day didn't mean it was a day of exhaustion and recuperation. It was a day of completion. It was a day of everything that was going to be done, everything that was going to be completed. Everything was set up. God created and established everything perfectly. It meant it was finished. And so he told the Hebrews in the Old Testament, they were supposed to rest in the things of God. Why was it that there was a day of rest? Why was the Sabbath day? It wasn't so you could just rest and recuperate. It was because it was impossible in the natural. It was impossible to survive unless you did certain things every day. In other words, you went and you got water. You went and you got food. You went and you tended the fields. You tended your sheep and your goats and whatever else you had. You had to every day work to survive. To scratch out your life for you and your family, it required you to work every single day. There was no days off. And so when God said, you know what, Israelites, you're my children. You're my example. And so you will rest on the Sabbath. You will give that day to me. It was a day that was to be spent honoring God, praising God, honoring Him, and honoring Him for the fact that He was going to take care of them even though they didn't work that day. Because in the natural sense, if they didn't work, they wouldn't have enough. They wouldn't have the water. They wouldn't have the food. Their ability to continue would be greatly. One day out of every seven you don't work, it would greatly diminish your ability to provide for yourself and your family. And so all the other nations would look at this, and all the other nations would know they had to work 7 days a week. They had to every day be out there toiling for their own survival. It made no sense not to take off one day out of seven and just honor and worship God. That made no sense whatsoever, because you had to work in order to survive. So for the Israelites to do that was to show that God supernaturally would take care of their needs. He would provide such an abundance on days 4 and 5, or maybe even just day 5 and 6, or even just day 6, that they wouldn't have to work. That was already provided for them on day 7. They were resting in Him. Setting aside the Sabbath day for the day of rest was to rest in Him, not to rest in the flesh. It was set aside so that we could rest in Him. It was set aside to acknowledge His goodness and His faithfulness so that there could always be peace and rest in Him. Not in self. Okay, the ruler of the synagogue didn't understand this. As did not most of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, most of the religious men of the time. And so often, we miss it in our lives as well. Oftentimes, we don't even understand the Old Testament, the Old Covenant version of what the Sabbath rest is. And we'll look what the New Covenant says. We'll look at that on Wednesday when I come back. But here's this rich young ruler who didn't understand, not rich young ruler, this is the ruler of the synagogue who didn't understand this basic tenet of the Old Covenant. Now here's Jesus coming to him representing the New Covenant. He doesn't even understand the Old Covenant, let alone the New Covenant. He doesn't understand that Jesus is representing that fulfillment. Let's go back again. This is how badly he didn't understand. The ruler of the synagogue didn't understand. Because God said that there had to be a day of rest, which man then interpreted. Man took that, not understanding the spiritual insights, the spiritual wisdom, and what God was trying to establish and speak to them, not understanding it and putting their own human law and restrictions to it, and said, you can't work. God said it's a day of rest so that all the others, so that you can see how faithful I am. You can rest in me. You can worship me and honor me and know that I will take care of your needs. And the same thing is true, not just for the Sabbath, but there was also a year of Sabbath. Every seventh year, they were not supposed to work the fields. They were supposed to leave the fields and not plant and not harvest. That's insane in the natural. To the natural mind, that's insane thinking. There's no way to survive. What am I supposed to eat for a year? How am I going to have that happen? That makes no sense. And yet they were supposed to. Why? Because if they would do that, it was the same thing. It was resting in Him. It was that Sabbath rest, which said, God, the Sabbath rest is the place where God meets all of our needs. It's the place where we are comforted and at peace in worshiping Him because we know that He has met all of our needs. That's what the day meant, the Sabbath rest, and that's what that Sabbath year meant as well. Every seventh year, you take it off. And God would provide such an abundance in the years leading up to it and in year 6 that they would have enough to get through year 7 when they're doing nothing, plus they'd have enough to carry over into that first year when they're going to plant their fields again, and they've got to wait for that harvest. It makes no sense in the natural, but God said, if you trust me, they would have an abundance. And you know part of the reason they never advanced? And you know part of the reason that we don't advance? Because we don't trust God. We don't know. Jesus is now our place of rest. And there is a new covenant truth to that. A spiritual end to that. That's even more true than what they were going through. You know, the Bible also compares this to the Israelites walking in the desert and waiting for their promised land. That Sabbath rest was their promised land. In the natural, it had already been prepared for them. But they missed it. Well, here the ruler of this synagogue missed it as well and didn't understand. And here's my point. God is doing great things. Just as God did, Jesus did an amazing thing to heal this woman. Because she placed her trust in him. Too many times we're not like the woman. We're not ready to receive. We're ready to receive conditionally. It's got to be this way. It's got to be in these things. It's got to be with this. And that's exactly what the rich young ruler said. We need to step outside of that religion of today. The religion that has been on this earth from the beginning. Step outside that and just understand that God's covenant is, has always been, that he is the one that meets our needs. He exclusively is the one that can meet our needs. Now, you and I can try to make it happen ourselves, but we're going to wind up sorely frustrated. You know, if I try to do this in my own strength, if I try to survive with that same concept of I'm taking a portion of it and just I'm not doing anything. I'm trusting God. I'm resting and trusting in him. You know what? If I try to do that in my own strength, I'm going to fail miserably. If I try to make that happen where I could somehow cover that day or that year off, I'd fail. There's no way I can make that happen. I would fail miserably. But if I'm trusting in him, and that's what the place of rest is. The place of rest means I'm coming to you. I'm resting in you. I'm setting aside this day for the Old Testament believers, it was also that year. I'm setting it aside because you said so, and I'm trusting you. And you know what? They were far more abundant. They would have received back far more than had they tended the field that seventh year. To not tend it, they would have received more because God is faithful. And they said, we're resting in you.